God bless you. I'll be doing tonight's teaching through Yahweh's Word. It's going to be about building your faith and building my faith. And the application is going to be case law. And applying the concept of using case law, and I'll explain case law for those who aren't accustomed to that phrase in a second, to His Word, and applying it within the Word, and then using it to apply for our own lives. So case law, and so there's different ways to practice law. And the case law is not necessarily the best way to practice law, because what they'll do is they say abortion is legal now because they said this one thing, and now they go back. The state of Georgia, the University of the State of Georgia, explains case law. I'll give you a short explanation. Case law is the collection of reported cases that form the body of law within a given jurisdiction. It is based upon judicial opinions by various courts, which may set future precedent. Courts in the United States adhere to stare decisis, which generally means that courts respect and adhere to the precedent of previous decisions. However, a court does not have to stand by a decision that is not binding precedent. Generally, courts will follow the decision of higher courts in their jurisdiction. Therefore, the effect of a court's decision or other courts will depend both on the level of the court and its jurisdiction. A decision by the United States Supreme Court is binding precedent in all courts. A decision by the United States starts to explain. So what that means is, if you're going to be arguing a case in law, what they'll do is go find a case that is similar to this that we can possibly apply to our argument. And that is how we will win our case. Yahweh's Word is complete. It doesn't matter what your circumstance or your situation is. The answer is right here. How do you find it? And so, instead of chapter and verse, I'll be using the phrase case law. What case have we seen before that could possibly be applied to this? And as we're going to... I'm trying to keep this one brief, because I have a tendency to talk too much. But instead, we won't be going to all the different scriptures and stuff, because at least in this audience, you guys are familiar with the scriptures, but I will reference them. But it applies certain things. And it occurred to me as I'm reading the Yahweh's Word from cover to cover, what a blessing that is, because by the time I get to the Gospels, I read something that I've read a million times, and I went, this is just like the other case.
Yeah.
Why is that important? Because you, and me are going to be facing cases very soon. And how are we going to win those arguments? Most Christians, well, I'm just going to believe. That's not necessarily how it works. You have to have faith. How do we get faith? By speaking the Word. You can't speak the Word if you don't know the Word. Even with the certain jurisdictions. Did you notice that there's jurisdictions? Okay, there's jurisdictions in the Scriptures. There's certain things that do not apply to us. You can't just take something out of context. We are not Israel. We are the body of the Christ. We can learn from something, but does it necessarily apply to us? And so, when I was reading in the Gospels, here's Yehoshua going through certain things, and it appears he is the teacher going, what case could you apply to this situation, this problem? And looking at the disciples, we have hindsight, so I don't look very smart. But when I think of Christ as a law teacher, and he's going to the disciples, who do they say I am? Peter. Should we pay taxes? Who pays taxes? And instead of just answering it, which maybe that's what they were doing, and that's probably what I did, is answer to the best of my ability, we should, at least with this teaching, if you want to build your faith, build your case. And how do you do that? Divest your emotional baggage from whatever you're in. Step back and go, what is the problem? What is the exact obstacle we have here? And what cases can we apply to this? Because you know what? Like I started at the beginning, it's complete. There's a case in here for whatever your circumstance is. And even better than that, we have a Wi-Fi connection. The Ruach HaKodesh, Christ, is inside you. And if you humble yourself, I can't find any cases! Calm down. Actually, as I was preparing this teaching, he threw a couple cases out at me. What would you do with this? And these examples, I'm not going to say these are exact answers. What I'm going to show you, and this is going to be an exercise, I'm going to ask you guys questions. They're not rhetorical. Answer them. If you can't answer something, say, I don't got one. That's humility. If you just sit there and look at me, then I don't know what you're doing. You're just ignoring me. So this is going to be an exercise. But the thing is, deductive reasoning, exercise your faith. It's in here. You're going to, so I'm going to ask you some stuff. I guess we will turn to Acts chapter 9. And you can put your finger in 2 Kings chapter 4. It's kind of an illustration of exercising faith or building your faith. And faith is the Hebrew word aman, which is certainty. So you would be doing yourself a favor if you replace faith with certainty. So Acts chapter 9. And a child dies in the book of Acts. And if I forget to use the word imagine, please remember this is an exercise. Imagine. And what I'm saying is, what I'm suggesting is not that this is what they were thinking. Where the scriptures are clear, let them be clear. Where the scriptures are silent, let us be silent. But this is an exercise. In Acts chapter 9, a young woman named Dorcas dies. Dorcas means gazelle. Isn't a beautiful name? Okay. Gazelle. She's dead. Okay. And let's see if we get a page there. Chapter 9, verse 36. Now in Joppa there was a certain female disciple by the name of Tabitha, which being translated means Dorcas, a gazelle. The same was full of good works and alms which she was doing. Look at that footnote. She was doing. What's he saying in the footnote? Not full of what she had done, what she was doing. Okay. And it came to pass in those days that she sickening, died, and bathing her, they laid her in the upper room. She's dead. Okay. And if you guys have, if you can insert something, just raise your hand so I know. What case could they apply to this? What?
The one where the little boy dies, Elijah or Elisha?
You're on point. And so, what case? Did you guys turn to 2 Kings? Keep your finger here.
Yeah.
2 Kings chapter 4. Because as I read this account, as I'm looking at a building a case, building your faith, the upper room struck out to me. Upper room. Where have I read that before? 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 10. If somebody would read verse 10, then 21 and 23. So,
I pray thee, let us make a little upper chamber on the wall and set for him there a bed.
Okay. So where is this place?
On the wall.
Upper room. It's an upper room. Upper room. And if now you read verse 21 and 23, please.
And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of Elohim.
Where is this room?
Upper room.
In the upper room, okay.
23 is, and he said, wherefore art thou going unto him today, neither new moon nor Sabbath? And she said, peace.
And then if you read down, it's going to say, now we'll go, if you go back to Dorcas, they put her in the upper room. And so it doesn't say that's why they did that. But what if the book of Acts, this woman dies, she was doing good works, she didn't want to die, she was snuffed out. What are we going to do? Somebody, go find a case. What if they said, is this Elisha or Elijah?
Elisha.
Elisha, the child was resurrected. Where was the child? In the upper room. What if they said, we're going to replicate that situation? Would that honor Yahweh?
Yeah.
And it's not that you're honoring Yahweh, it raised your faith. What if they could have said, We've seen this case before, and here's how we're going to argue before the Supreme Court. We're going to go to it, because the Supreme Court is Yahweh, and who's at his right hand? His son, Yehoshua. George Mueller, and I'm getting ahead of myself, he would argue his case through the scriptures and what he had done, and Yahweh has said his faithfulness. And he would say, I have done this, I have done this, you have said this, and he would argue it as if he's going before the Supreme Court, and he would win his case. How? He did not convince Yahweh. He convinced himself by arguing the case.
Oh, yeah.
And his faith would raise up. I remember reading this, and as I was reading this, Christ gave me a vision of seeing this guy, a crucible being crushed. He said, I'm not asking for $1 million. I'm not asking like Kenneth Copeland for a citation 10. I got 300 orphans are going to freeze because we don't have coal. This isn't a Bentley car or $1 million. This is this. What did he do? I'm going to go to Yahweh. And he would come. Your word says this, this law, this law, this law. And the judges are, how much that bless Yahweh. What would happen? He'd get done. He'd come out of his prayer room and he was on fire in fuego. And so, in this case, what if they said, we're going to replicate that. Put the child in the upper room. Because what do they do? They put him up in the upper room. In 2 Kings, what happens next? We don't necessarily have to go there. We've been there before. What does she do after this? It's peace, it's peace, it's peace. I don't want to hear anybody else's words. Real important, especially with you, Mom. You're going on a faith walk with your mom. Protect your ears. Because we need a resurrection or a miracle for somebody. This woman, in order to have her child resurrected, she didn't explain it to her husband. It could be, keep your mouth shut. There was a time when Christ put people out of the room. Focus on the results. Especially if you're around weak people, stay away from it. And what does she do? The woman in 2 Kings, she sends for the prophet. If we go to Acts chapter 9, back to Acts chapter 9, they bathed her, they put her in an upper room. And what if they are replicating the case? What do they do next?
Go for the prophet.
They sent for Peter. Okay, okay. And so, replicating, a child has died, and what happened in this case? The child was resurrected. Again, their faith was up, or however you want to say it, they built their faith. Let's see here. So they said for Peter, why is this important for us to exercise case law? Because you're going to come into a position. Here, as I was going through this and getting ready, I'm like, wow, this is so good. This is, I can't wait to share this. I'm going to sound so smart. All right, smarty pants, Aaron. Car wreck, go. And as soon as that was communicated, car wreck, what case law can you apply to that? What's the first thing I associate with a car wreck? Bloody, a mess. This isn't a dead girl in upper chamber. And I sat there and I was like, I can't. Do you guys have anything? This is an exercise.
No, you got nothing.
The guy on the road, Good Samaritan parable.
That's a parable, but there's no wrong or right. And here's what I came up with that one. Eutychus, in Acts 20, fell from a three-story, fell asleep while Paul was teaching. What did that look like? I don't know. But as we go into that, and I started thinking, going, oh, I do have something, and I can't take credit for that. I believe Yahweh gave that to me. And He'll do the same thing for you and I. He'll prime the pump, going, come on, get ready. Because we don't know if you're getting ready to deliver a baby, cast out a demon. But if you prepare yourself for these cases, these circumstances, what happens? You're going to build your faith, going, it's going to work. John chapter 6. Go ahead and turn there, John chapter 6. This is very unique. As I was reading through the Gospels, getting to see our Lord and Savior as a law professor. Was he a law professor? He knew the law better than anybody. Yahweh's law. And absolutely, he might have a photographic memory. Maybe he had to read Kings once.
Yeah.
And he could recite it. Isaiah, this guy's got a perfect memory, knowing who he was, he probably would have read as much as he could. because it blessed him. He got excited. Like rereading something, you know, watching a movie. But imagine him teaching the disciples, what do you say? What do you say? What do you think? Everything's teaching. But in chapter 6, which is really neat with this situation, because if you read right about chapter 6, verse 1, 5,000 fed. Okay? Now go down to verse 6. Actually, we'll do verse 5. So, then Yehoshua, lifting up his eyes and beholding that a great multitude was coming unto him, said unto who?
Philip.
Now, who's Philip?
The disciple.
Is he a relationship to anybody? Philip? I don't know. Whence are we to buy loaves that these may eat? How many? There's 5,000 people, not including women and children. That's a lot of people. Somebody read verse 6.
And this he was saying to test him.
To what?
Test him.
To test him. For he himself knew what he was about to do. Philip! What did he say?
200 denarii's worth of loaves are not sufficient for them.
Now we can look at Philip, we can look at this situation, we can learn to say, it appears, and I would have missed it. I'm not going to say that I would have got it. But we're looking at this. What could we apply to the situation? First of all, what's the problem?
Food.
Okay. You say, yeah, there's a shortage of food. So what are we going to do? Can anybody suggest a case that could be applied to this?
The lady with the oil in the famine.
Okay, that'd be a good one.
Lady with the oil.
The oil, the cruse of oil that didn't run out. Anybody else?
And Elijah feeding 100 men.
Okay, Elijah, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42, which I never knew this because I didn't read the Hebrew scriptures. I didn't know that the first time bread was multiplied wasn't Jesus Christ.
I didn't know that.
He was replicating what Elijah did. I also didn't know, as I read 1 Kings chapter 4, that it was somebody's first fruit. Is that significant?
Yeah. It was somebody's first fruit.
It specifically says a man brought first fruit.
Oh.
And Elijah says, feed them. This isn't enough. He goes, you feed them, for thus saith Yahweh. He was the first to get to do it. How cool is that at the resurrection that Christ was not the first to get to do those things? And if you don't have a case to reference these things, we can still build it. Is he still honored? Yeah, will you still build your faith by doing deductive reason with these things? How can we apply this? Yes. But every once in a while you're going to come, there is no case. Don't get defeated. Maybe you'll be the first person to have an Isaac. Or this guy who multiplied the bread. And so, in this case, what could we have done? And say, alright, let's see. Another one would have been, walking on water. And you know, it's not in Luke. Yehoshua does not walk on water in Luke. That's why it's not a recollection. You're not going to forget that. You're not going to forget Lazarus being resurrected. And you're not going to forget, oh, how did I forget when he walked on water?
No,
I was so distracted by the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 14, 25, Mark chapter 6, verse 45 through 46, and John 6, 16 through 21. What did he do? What case could have been applied to this?
Where he walked on water?
Yeah, so if we could have interjected with these disciples to say, hey, don't marvel at walking on water. Why? Okay, can anybody think of something that could be similar? You've done very good. Go.
Moses parting the Red Sea and they can walk across.
Excellent.
Moses.
Parting the Red Sea.
So she says, Moses parted the Red Sea, so that was going to be my second and third. And so the first thing we ought to do is, what happens when you see an obstacle, specifically in a crisis situation, and it is so daunting, and you do nothing. But if it was a case, and you're an attorney, and you're not a victim going to something, what can an attorney do? You vent to them, they go, all right, you go borrow another room. I want to figure this thing out. You can separate yourself. You and I can separate ourselves from the problem and go, what is the problem? Walking on water. Is it authority over water?
Yeah.
I don't know necessarily. Or is it authority over gravity? Okay, I think about when Moses moved to split the Red Sea, that's authority over water or something, okay? What I came up with... was, and I didn't know this one either, and so I can't take credit. And so this was, as I was starting this whole thought, what about walking on water? And I'm like, there's no walking on water. And then I got quiet, and guess what he said? Did iron not swim?
Yeah.
In First King, or Second Kings chapter 6, verse 6? What's the difference between an axe head floating to the surface of the water and a man walking on it? Huh. So if we could have interjected to the disciples going, look, don't marvel at that. Iron has already swum. And then you could also go that Jordan was split with Joshua, and it was by Elijah and Elisha that Jordan split. We don't necessarily have to understand how the sausage is made, but we have a case for that. So you can imagine if that wasn't applied. Look, there's authority over water. Okay, we can multiply food. All of a sudden we're going to go, he is not that mysterious. He's actually replicating a lot of cases. Let's see here. Another one is your imagination, the centurion. The centurion, and we're going to imagine, use our imagination, that the centurion was applying case law. Why? To build his faith. Because there's two things that Yehoshua marveled at in the scriptures, specific. Do you know what they are? The unbelief of his own people.
And the faith.
And the faith of the centurion. I believe the woman was a woman with issue of blood, but it was his faith. He marveled and goes, wow! Nobody's got this faith. How did he get that faith? Scriptures don't say, but we're going to interject and act as if. What if the centurion goes, I know about this Elohim, this God of Yahweh. What case could he have applied to say the word only?
Say the word only. The guy that had leprosy, that came to Elisha.
Absolutely. Excellent. So that's what was revealed to me. So the centurion faith said, say the word only. I understand authority. You don't have to come here. When Tim was dying, I applied case law. My brother-in-law is dying. People say, you have to be here. And I found out that the room where my brother-in-law was dying was filled with unbelief.
Yeah.
Unbelief is not going to help my brother-in-law. And so I went to the centurion type of faith. You don't have to be there. But the centurion, what if he said, you kind of took my wind out of myself, which is great. Naaman, who had leprosy, went to Elisha, and Elisha says, go. He just said the word. They did not have to meet. And the centurion, or not the centurion, Naaman, the Assyrian, rejected it at first, but then he accepted it and went. And here's his faith. Say the word only. It's a case law. Say it. Just do it. Another one, this isn't a really good one, but I feel like I'm supposed to share it. What if Saul, when he was blinded, applied case law? Because at the very beginning, when you go blind, how long is a minute? How long is 5 minutes?
Yeah.
How long is 10 minutes? And if you read through this case, when he goes blind, do I have your attention? It appears that the reason why he's blind is not so he can turn around.
Being punished.
Why are you persecuting me? Lights out. It appears. And it appears you go to Ananias. And what would happen if you didn't go to Ananias? Because later on, the Apostle Paul knows what it's like to be blind, right? Mm-hmm. Yahweh tells him to blind somebody else, and he does blind them. That guy doesn't turn. So what I was thinking about, with Saul, when he goes blinded, if he was thinking this principle of case law, I'm blind, I was attacking the Elohim who I fear by doing what? Assaulting his son, the heir? Woo! What case law could he have done? And I was, if that were to happen, he could have said, Nineveh turned. I'll apply that principle. Nineveh turned, 40 days you're going to be destroyed. I'm going to apply that one. He turned for, Nineveh turned, I'm going to turn. Hezekiah turned to the wall. You're going to be dead. And he turned, and I imagine that because when Ananias comes to Saul, what is Saul doing? He's praying. He's praying. And if you know the scripture, oh no, what are you going to do? No, somebody who knows the scriptures and understand how Yahweh's work would be exercising the scriptures. Not just bawling and whining and waiting. No, here's this scripture. Here's another scripture. And I imagine him going, they turned. I know what kind of Elohim you are. I did this out of ignorance. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And it could have turned him possibly. But I was thinking about that with case law. I already talked about George Mueller arguing his case. I'd already talked about car wrecks. Here's another one. So the thing is not just case law. What I wanted to do with this is don't just look at what the results. What is the real problem here? If somebody's dead, what's the real problem? We kind of look at it. They need life. They need breath. Christ in Mark 11, 23 through 24, he says, what to the mountain? You can move a mountain.
Yeah.
Really? Really? I can move a mountain. I'll take your word for it. Whatever. What did he say? And so what, take a step back. If we exercise this, it could be somebody needs a kidney transplant. Somebody needs a miracle. And I'm going to go into some stuff really specific here in a second that's going to sound far-fetched until I show you a case that we could tie to it. Move a mountain. How do you move a mountain?
Faith. That's the only way.
Somebody else?
Speak unto it.
Speak. Speak. He didn't say just faith. Faith is speaking. People say, I have faith. If you don't have works, you don't have faith. I should see your faith. No, I'm just standing here. What are you doing? I'm waiting. That's not faith. Faith is movement. Or it could be sitting if he says, go wait. No, that's different. And if somebody goes, I know what I'm doing. What are you doing? I'm doing just like what Peter did here and Paul did here and Saul did here. That's what I'm doing. Well, then that's a good answer. Speaking to the mountain or moving a mountain. You turn to Ezekiel 789. And think about our Lord and Savior with a photographic perfect memory as he's teaching these things. I can imagine how frustrating it would be if you knew every one of these scriptures and you tell them to do something that's already been done before and they didn't know it even happened. Holy, how can I move a mountain? He's like, did you read Ezekiel? Yeah, I did. Sorry, Lord, I don't have a photographic memory.
Chapter verse again.
Chapter 6, verse 2 is what I wrote down.
6:2.
Ezekiel
789.
Yeah.
There is
page
number.
Okay.
Page 789. Ezekiel chapter 6. Chapter 6, 1 and 2. And the word came of Yahweh unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against the mountains of Israel, and do what?
Prophesy unto them.
To what? The mountains. Speak to the mountains, and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith my Lord Yahweh to the mountains. He's speaking to the mountains. What if the disciples went, Lord Yehoshua, this isn't the first time somebody says speaking to a mountain. I remember in the prophet Ezekiel. Can you imagine our Lord going to him? It could have happened. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Job chapter 9, verse 5 is another one. It's going to say, speak to the mountain. I speak healing over my mother and my father. Because it says, your word says, Yahweh. It says that those who do the word, Chapter 1, Psalms 101, will be a tree planted by streams of water that yieldeth its fruit in its season, and its leaf shall not fade. Yes! My parents do the word, they have that. And then I was thinking about some other thing. I want their bones to be healthy and flexible. How do you do that? Ezekiel, speak to the bones! I speak to the bones! Yeah. Hear me! Ezekiel talking to Yahweh. Yahweh, what do you think about this? you know, Lord, or that might be not exactly, but here it is. Speak to me. And he says, prophesy to the bones and to the wind and speak to these things. And so Yehoshua, if we don't know these other scriptures, it looks like he's so revolutionary. No, he's fulfilling things. He's fulfilling that. Another one, if you read in Job chapter 9, 5 is speaking to a mountain. And in 9 verse 7 of Job, guess what else he's speaking to? The sun. Who else spoke to the sun?
To the sun or his son?
Yahushua.
Oh. The star in the sky. Case law. Good?
Yahushua.
Joshua, son of Nun. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. Speak, and he speaks to it. You can imagine in Job, when he's told to speak to the sun or that he's riding, going to go, this is just like Joshua. So when Yahweh tells you to speak to a tree or to an ant or to a wall, or he tells you to blend the paint on the wall, well, what profit is that? It's to exercise your faith. You're in a class. Do what the teacher tells you to do.
Yeah.
Exercise. Get better. If he tells you to speak into the carpet, or work these things, work it. There's always a reason why he's preparing us for stuff. Okay, another exercise. Somebody's dead for 3 days.
Yeah, Lazarus.
Okay, so you would apply Lazarus. How long was Lazarus dead?
3 days and three nights.
He was dead 4 days.
Oh, it was 4 days.
So it was 4 days. And you go, excellent. So you're right there. So you got it. So then we start exercise preparing these things. Okay, next exercise.
Yahushua.
Somebody dead for a week, a month, or a year. I didn't know this one either. So, think. See if you guys can come up with something.
Somebody who's been dead for a month?
Yeah, okay. So if we're going to resurrect somebody who's been dead for 3 days, okay, Lazarus was rotten. He stunk. Can you imagine Lazarus after 4 days waking up?
In the desert, in the heat.
Do you think he needed a bath? If you're trying to wash off nasty stuff, I don't think he had Clorox cleanup back then. Can you imagine the whole night going, I can't get it out of my nose. Yeah, it was in there too, man. But here's the whole thing. Okay, there's 3 days. We can apply that. What if somebody's asleep for a week or a month? I don't have anything. And I found one. It's a very, very unusual one. Turn to Matthew chapter 27, verse 53. And so what we're doing is exercising our faith. And Kenneth Copeland says that Oral Roberts would use his faith. He had tools, like a toolbox.
That's what Israel
should call. Matthew 27:53. Yeah, somebody read that for me so if I don't have to turn there, it helps.
Coming
me.
Forth out of the tombs after his arising, entering into the holy city, and plainly appeared unto many.
Okay, so what Is this account in any other gospel?
No.
Is there any other account like this anywhere in the scriptures? Not to my knowledge. So what happened after Yehoshua was after he was dead,
the temple was torn.
The veil of the temple was torn. What else happened?
And the earth was shaken, the rocks were rent, and the tombs were opened. And many bodies of the holy ones who had fallen asleep arose.
There's a resurrection. And notice the scriptures didn't say, and Yahweh took them out of heaven and put them back in their bodies. No, the dead awoke. How long have these guys been dead? I don't know. But see how we're exercising. What if I'm gone for a month and I can't see this guy after? Well, it's too late now, right? No, it's not. My brother-in-law died last summer. It's not too late. Nothing is too late. And so, if we exercise and we start thinking this way, I think what we'll start doing is instead of enduring a catastrophe, we'll be prepared to take a step back and go, what is the exact problem here? Well, they're going to confiscate my house, and the IRS did this, and Biden's auditing me because I'm a Christian, like they did with the IRS. And then you look down, and then good believers like you would take a step back and go, so what's the problem? Are you kidding me? The problem, I'm losing my house, I'm losing my IRA, I'm doing all this. And somebody take a step back, and it could be malign, going to go, so the problem's money? What if we had $1 billion? And it could be something like that. Well, we, what case could we have with that? And so that, and so then we can go back and like, So I almost forgot something. And so here's a couple other other different problems. Multiplying food. What about time?
Yeah.
You're out of time. You're an hour late. Can anybody think of a scripture? This is.
Yeah, where they moved the sun back.
Joshua.
The sun stood still. Okay, that's stopping time somehow. I'm not going to say literally, but I don't know. But we're going to go, wait, if we're out of time, there's a case for that. We could take that case to the Supreme Court. And we're going to argue that. What else can we have? And I had another one. Good old Hezekiah.
Yeah.
Had the sundial go backwards. Mm-hmm. Do you need time? Do you need a resurrection? Do you need food? Do you need money, oil? And hear these cases and see how we just activated and built our faith with this exercise. And we go back to go, but don't forget to do this. And then you build your case, but you have to argue it. You get this? Here's your scriptures. Here's this. It doesn't just work by itself. You have to activate all this. And then you get down on your hands and knees or however you humble yourself. And you write it down and say, I'm ready. You sure you're ready? Let's do this. And you go in very respectful because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and this is the Supreme Court. And you sit there, and as you argue your case, you say this. And we got this, and we got this, and you're all fired up. And I'm organized. I'm so organized. It could be that you're missing something. And you know what happened one time? I went to go argue a case because a crooked cop gave me a ticket for something. My dad told me I should argue it, so I went and got a law book. Got my own law book. I took pictures of the whole intersection because my dad told me to. I did a whole cutout of all the pictures of the whole intersection because I was going to fight. I didn't know what I was doing. I went to court because the guy said I ran a red light. I didn't run a red light. I was in the intersection. It was green. It turned red, and I couldn't finish the turn until the light was red. I'm stuck. I had to exit. He gave me a ticket. He said you ran a red light. So I went with my case to traffic court, and I was so defeated. I was so intimidated going, what am I doing? I'm 19 years old. Anyways, I put it all up, and the judge looks at me, and he saw the law book, and he sees this guy, and he looks over at the cop, who I think had a reputation. And the judge goes, are you going to use this stuff? And I went, I was here, and I was so intimidated. But guess what the judge did? He looked at my book, he saw this stuff, and he looked at the judge, at the traffic cop, and he went, according to my whole cutout, because it's like a crime scene. Because what my dad told me to do. He went, hey, Mr. Officer, or Mr. Dead, or Dead Guy, or whatever the officer goes, where was your car when you witnessed this? And guess what? So I'm going this way, and the police officer, cocky police officer went, and he walked up, I'm going this way, he was on this side of the intersection. And the judge, when he said, so you didn't see the traffic light. Dismissed. And so we could bring the court, and if we're humble, and Yahweh could go, here's another thing or another, we would build it up. And you can imagine, what if Philip would have said, what if Christ, when he was testing Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Oh, wait a minute. We're going to multiply just like the first fruits. Could you imagine? Not just for Philip's sake, but what would that do for our Lord and our Savior to go, yes! It could have been just like Peter, you are the Mashiach. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for building our cases, but more important, building our certainty. Why? So that we can fulfill your calling, because we know your will is for wonderful things to happen. And we thank you for these words. Know, my children, that I'm forever with you. If you are in the light, and if you are in peace, I am there. And so you are taking a test, but with the teacher right over your shoulder. And I will help you. I will help you with all these things. And I will guide you, but I want you to grow up. And I want you to produce faith. So when you are intimidated because of a situation or a circumstance, it's going to intimidate you. But take yourself a step back and to say, I am intimidated because of this big chasm. What is the problem? The problem is I need a lot of faith. What is the case I could apply? Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing, and you will win your case. Hebrews 11:6, and I'm